Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you because, Father, you will move us on in the light of your word and your mind for us, even this hour. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, today's the last Sunday. It's not much for preaching, but I'll just try and say a few words. It's more or less like a thought. Amen. Just to encourage us. The book of Job. Job chapter 32. Job the 32nd chapter. We'll just read from verse 7. It says like this, Elihu speaking. He said, I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. It says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath, from translation, use the word, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Verse 9. Great men are not always wise, nor do the age always understand justice. Well, some say judgment, right? Praise God. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 9, the Bible says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Hallelujah. Now, what we've read in the book of Job, if you have a little understanding of the story behind Job, Job was a man who was besieged with a lot of crises and a lot of troubles at a particular time in his life, like all of hell broke loose on him and everything. Now, if you read Job, you understand what was happening behind the scene, where the Bible tells us about the conversation of Satan towards God, saying, you know, Job didn't have a genuine heart to serve God. It was because of the comfort that God had accosted Job that was making Job serve God, which I am very certain Satan knew that human nature makes it increasingly easy when you're already serving God and things come your way. It looks like you will serve God the more because you're like, wow, I'm comfortable, praise God. But we also understand that even sometimes comfort could take you away from God, okay? But at this time, he felt that the comfort that Job had was as a result of what God has allowed to come to him. And he began to put that accusation against Job. And that's what scripture will tell us, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And when that happened, if you go through the story, you find that eventually God said, Satan, you're wrong. And Satan said, Lord, I couldn't be wrong. And God said, I'll prove you wrong. I will allow you to go touch or take some of these things, but do not take the life. Do whatever you want to do with him. Afflict even his body, but do not take the life. Just make things real go tough. And then you will see the character of Job. You will understand that Job himself, right, had a relationship with me that surpasses what things I have put in his hands, concerning the beyond the comfort he's enjoying with me. And the story goes on that eventually Satan brought problems, all sorts of problems. When it comes to Job's business, Satan brought problems there. When it came to Job's place of authority, if you read the whole story, you understand that Job was a man of authority in where he was living. The Bible says, yeah, it was reading, Job said, when I was in the days of my prime. In other words, before the problem came, when Job speaks, everybody keeps quiet. You know, he was an authority. He might not have been the king, but when Job shows up, every person sits down and desires to learn from Job. It was so much honor upon the life of Job. Even that seemed to have been taken away. Job no longer had honor within the eyes of the people. Things went from bad to worse. And as bad as things were going, Job had a group of friends who were quite smart men. And these men were men, I believe, that somehow had some depth of fellowship also with God. If you read their statement, you understand that they do have some dimension of understanding that are in depth in the things of God. Real serious stuff. All these men came around Job and they began to attempt to interpret what was the problem. And each one gave what he thought by reason of the day-to-day judgment of things and their understanding in the things of God. And after everyone has said, amongst them was a very young man. His name was Elihu. Elihu was the youngest of all of them. And because of, I believe, the culture and the custom like it is in certain parts of the world, being the youngest, he wasn't allowed to talk on time. He will keep quiet while those who were older than him will speak. And in such a culture like he found himself, he couldn't talk. Everybody had to talk. But he got to the point where he couldn't hold back. Having listened and heard everybody's thoughts and interpretation to the problem, as much as they had substance in what they said, and as much as what they said were some sort of truth, but it did not equate to the reason why Job was in his predicament. Do you understand? They could evaluate that things will go wrong when you do this. They were right. But that in itself was not necessarily the situation that was before Job. And so Elihu, being young, began to listen, and something inside of him stirred up and he couldn't hold back. And that brought us to the chapter where we began to read in Job. The Bible says in Job 32 where we read, it said, and Elihu decided to speak, quite young in age. And Elihu said, hold on. He said, I have sat back here and I have thought in my mind that I should allow multitude of age, in other words, vastness of your age, to speak. I've sat back thinking that, you know, the more you grow older, the wiser you become, like sometimes you are taught or told in certain quarters. That, oh, you know, when you see the gray hair, it's experience, it's wisdom. But Elihu say, hold on. I don't think it applies always. He said, I decided to wait to listen. He said, but I wanted to wait. He said, but I discovered that is not the case, even as you have all spoken. I just discovered that there isn't necessarily wisdom in what you've said. He said, in one of the verses we read, he says, I have discovered that great men, the word great men speaks about men of age or old men, people who have gone old with age, who have aged. I thought that, he said that people who are old are not necessarily wise. Great men are not necessarily wise. I've heard you all speak, but there is a conclusion in this that I have drawn, and now you will have to listen to me. And he said something that is so important we'll be drawing from because it contains so much depth. He said, listen, he said, there is a spirit in man. He said, but the inspiration, the word inspiration means supernatural influence of God. He said, there is a spirit in man, but the supernatural influence of God's spirit upon that man's life or that man's spirit, he says it gives him understanding. Hallelujah. It brings to him understanding. Now, if you read the next verse, it said, for men of age are not necessarily wise. It goes on to, I don't know if you could look at it in a very fantastic way. It said, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath or the inspiration of the most of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the age always understand justice. It uses the next verse was, great men, hallelujah, he said, are not always wise, hallelujah, nor do the age always understand justice. Therefore, listen to me, I also will declare my opinion. Great men, in other words, it looks like the inspiration of the Almighty will deliver two things. It will bring understanding and it will bet wisdom. Hallelujah. I'll read it again. I need you to see what I'm seeing. Verse 7 said, I said age should speak. A multitude of years should teach wisdom. But he discovered something. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath or inspiration or the influence of the Holy Spirit gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise. Hallelujah. It's as though that the understanding that a person needs does not necessarily come with your age. It could always come to you by reason of the influence of God's Spirit. Now, what am I pulling at and pushing us to? Elihu said, there is a spirit in man. In other words, hallelujah. There's a reason you are the way you are, and there's a reason I am the way I am. There's a reason I have certain temperaments that you don't have, and there's a reason you have certain temperaments that I don't have. And I'm not talking about temperament that makes you live contrary to God's word. You understand? Because some of us have so much temper in us, and that's not what I'm talking about. Amen? But there are certain things, certain qualities you possess. The Bible says there is a spirit, there's a distinction in you, and there's a distinction in me. It says there is a spirit in man. You see, that distinction, hallelujah, is like the blueprint, the fingerprint of your person in your spirit. I hope I'm making sense. It's like your DNA inside of you. What makes you unique? There was something God has put in you. Now, when God created every one of us, he put in certain abilities, certain things, and he locked them inside. They're there. It might not have surfaced, but they're there. Amen. Now, Elihu is now saying, there is the factor of the influence or the inspiration of God. What happens is that God can come to help you realize what God has put inside of you. Am I making sense? There is something God has put in me. You know, I was talking with a brother yesterday, and we're having a chat, and we're talking about preachers, you know. And I was telling him something. I was laughing. I said, don't never get something wrong. When God comes to a man, and he's sharing scripture with a person, making him understand the Bible or his ways, or delivering an inspiring message to him, he comes as God. And that's God. Now, how each man comes out to now say it is dependent on your personality or your temperament. So you could find, I could come here and I'm crying, oh God, oh God. It's not like the Holy Spirit is weeping or necessarily pushing me to weep. That is me. Now, what I'm saying is of God. There is no problem. While someone else could come, see the same thing which God would have dropped in him, and not even weep. Could just say it and walk away. And you're like, why? Because when God comes, he's God. An example is Jeremiah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament. The Bible says, when Jeremiah opens his mouth, like the Spirit of God takes charge of him, everything he said was God. But there was one other thing that went with him. He was a lamenter. He goes crying and screaming and rolling and declaring and screaming. And you're like, hey, God is speaking. But when you think of a man like Moses, Moses hears first from God and comes with authority and tells the people what God has said. Now, it doesn't mean God changed. God is still God. You find the temperament of each individual coming to play with what God has said. Am I making sense? Now, what God has put in you, he has put in you. What God has put in me, he has put in me. But there is something about the influence of his Spirit. When God's Spirit influences you, the good news is this. It brings to birth and to light what you have stored up in you. There are certain abilities. Please get this clear. When we speak of wisdom, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge or to put to application the abilities that you possess. Some of these abilities might be the ones you've learned. Some of them might be the one that God has put supernaturally in you. But by wisdom, you are able to not just know it's there, but harness it and use it to your benefit. Am I making sense? Now, there is a spirit in you. There is something God has put in your spirit. It takes the influence of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to eventually bring it to light. God's Spirit can help every one of us birth it forth. Hallelujah. There is a spirit. There's something about you that makes you unique. There's something about you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't even matter your background. It could influence it negatively or positively. But beyond the influence of your background and your certain, there are certain things God has put inside of you. God is impartial to every human. He deposits something in them when they are born. There is a spirit in man. The influence and the inspiration of the Almighty will birth understanding. It will make you realize what God has put in you. The other scripture we read in Proverbs, the Bible says this, hallelujah. The Bible says a man will plan his ways. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is this, that when you begin to come to understand what God has deposited in you, some of the good things God has put inside of you, it's time to begin to plan your actions. Amen. 2009 is fast approaching. To God be the glory. We should begin to think and to plan our actions. You see, God said to Abraham, hello, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father. Hallelujah. I'm going to make you a father of many nations and all the sort of promise he gave him. And he told him the first step is that you would need to leave your family, leave your country. Now, if you notice, I don't know if you've ever noticed, if I'm in England and the Holy Spirit comes and helps me understand that I'm going to be great and be used of God in this and this and this, and the Lord says, leave England. What will be the normal response to where? Now, you notice God never said where. The first in soil will leave. So he could go north, south, east, west. It was not relevant. Plan your departure. Amen. It was when he had left his place of origin that the Lord began to do what? To speak or to lead him. There's something about us discovering what God has in us or has for us. Hallelujah. And then when we set our heart and set ourselves towards it, I believe that God will begin to lead us in the path to go. Amen. God will begin to lead us. And lastly, I'll step this to say, and I'll leave here quickly. In scripture, there is something called some people call it the number of God. Each letter, or each alphabet, right? Each alphabet has a meaning. Is it alphabet? Numerical figure, rather. Numbers has a meaning, not alphabet. Each number has a meaning. Now, the number one has a meaning number two. Now, I'll help you understand how it operates. Now, in scripture, nothing just happened and is documented. Everything in the Bible is written for a meaning. Even the genealogy, and Abraham begot and he begot, there is a reason why it's documented. Everything documented. And because that is the case with God's word, the Bible, you find that every number has to have a meaning. Why? What scholars and Bible theologians began to discover was there was a trend with anything that has to do with one. There was a trend that has to do with anything that has to do with two. There was something significant with everything that has to three. And every time you say three, it points to a thing. Four, five, six. And as a result of that, they came to a conclusion that each figure spiritually have one thing or another it's actually speaking to us of. And because of that, we know that 2009 is fast approaching, and that's good news. Amen. I'm saying all this to bring us to this knowledge that 2009, to God be the glory, 9 in scripture speaks of certain things that are interesting. It speaks of the end of an era, and it speaks about the birthing or the revealing of that has been hidden. Amen. It speaks about the end of an era, and it speaks about the revealing of that that has been inside. Amen. It speaks about the end of an era. If you read through scripture, your Bible, I'll give you an example. The Bible said when the children of Israel got to the promised land was divided into nine. Strangely, there were 12 tribes. It was divided into nine. Now, one of the tribes decided not to cross Jordan. The other ones that came through Jordan were 11. Hallelujah. When they were 11, one of them, God said, do not share to them. That was the Levi tribe. Remaining 10. And God said, divide it into nine provinces. And one extra, he calls them a half. So you discover that within it, it was divided into nine. It was as though an era of them going through the wilderness has just come to an end. When they were about to settle, it was a different era they were stepping into. Amen. So nine speaks about the end of an era. But my own interest is the birthing forth. You know, there are a number of scriptures that also puts nine to defining that. We know, for example, nature tells us that a child stays in the womb of the mother for how long? 9 months, for example. And after the 9 month or thereabout, we know there is the revival. Hallelujah. There is the revealing of that has been inside. I'm not bringing us this to see one thing as I leave now. And this is this. That there are many things that God has put inside you. Hallelujah. Things God has locked in your spirit. Some of them have been bubbling up for a while. Amen. I believe without a shadow of doubt that as we're setting our hearts towards 2009, let's build expectation. Let's just build expectation inside of us. I want us to begin to build expectation and say, Lord, there's going to be a revealing. The Bible said it is a man that plans his ways. The Lord's duty is to direct his path. It is time to start waking up and say, yes, I do realize that God has put this inside of me. If you do not know it all, there is nothing that stops you from saying, Father, inspire me. Inspire me. Help me understand what you've locked in me. There is the locking. God has locked things inside of us. The exciting fact is this. We should be expectant. We should be like people who are ready to move. Hallelujah. God will say to the children of Israel, when they were about to leave the den Egypt, he said they should get up their things. Can you imagine in the night? They've not yet been told to leave Egypt. They should be as though a people ready to move. Hallelujah. They were already with their staffs all backed up, ready to move until daybreak when the news suddenly came and he said, it's time to go. Hallelujah. I believe we should begin to gag ourselves up. There are things God has put inside of you, some prophecies that have been in your life, some things that has been a thought and a desire, a hunger inside of you. You know, those are some of the things I believe God has locked in you. There are certain prophecies hanging over our life. I believe as we set out for 2009, we need to gag ourselves ready. Hallelujah. We are ready to happen. Amen. Something is about to happen. Praise God.